Reformed Church.
One thing that I'm going to present this, at least some of this, as sort of a snapshot of where I'm at right now in my mind, but because it's a little bit more firm than where I've been in the past on this topic, I think it's good to share. And really, it's a follow-up from something Pastor Jose shared. I think it wasn't this past message, but the week before that, the Sunday before that, he was toward the end of the message, he had just talked about debt. And he talked about it then, and then a couple days after that, we were just talking about it, just because he had just mentioned it, and he had actually brought it up because of the things he was saying on that Sunday. Let me just present this to you, and I think that if we're willing to hear this and we're kind of open-hearted to this, I think this will make sense scripturally. And again, there may be some fringe around the edges that I can learn a little bit more detailed, and maybe in the future be a little bit more firm on those things as well. But anyway, let's just cut to the chase. So when it comes to debt, here's something an interesting thing that I noticed in Scripture, that the reasons that God gives to not go into debt are never, at least the ones that I've seen thus far in Scripture, they're never for the financial benefit. If you think about it for a second, the reasons, even, I taught a little bit on the Power to Wealth series. Pastor Jose was talking about debt again, like I said, recently, and the reasoning for not going into debt is not because it's not good financially. Now, I'm not saying it is good financially, because there are financial benefits to not going into debt. You know, you can talk about interest and how you're going to pay twice as much for something when you go into debt, and there are financial benefits, but scripturally, when the Bible says, owe no man anything, which is pretty strong, when the Bible says you shall lend and not borrow, the reasons that he gives after that are never because it's going to be a smart financial move to make you wealthier quicker. And just so you know, I believe all those things are true. I believe that you will get wealthier quicker by not spending all your money on interest and monthly payments and all of that. And I think it's also wise, just because I think sometimes we convince ourselves, for instance, I can afford something. Like, the words will come out of our mouth, I can afford that, when you're talking about a monthly payment, which the funny thing is, if you could afford the thing, you wouldn't have to borrow money from somebody else, right? So ultimately, you can't afford it, and so therefore, I think it's wiser to spend money that you can afford to spend, not have to borrow from someone else, especially because most of the time we do that for convenience. But anyway, the reasoning in Scripture, though, you guys know the Scripture already, but Proverbs 22:7 says the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. Proverbs 22:7. There, you can see he's not painting borrowing money in a positive light. He's painting it as a negative, but the reason is not because of the interest. He said because you're going to be a servant. It's because of the obligation, nature of debt. And so just to make this as short as possible, we've talked about this in the past, but when you borrow money, you've put yourself in an obligation, right? So that you are obligated now to pay that person back, a moral obligation. That's why the Bible likens it here to servanthood or to slavery. Even in the Old Testament, there was a period of time, every 7 years, you had to set your slaves free, but you also had to forgive your debtors at the same time, just to show you exactly what God thinks about debt, that it is slavery. So I think that anyone that is willing to take an honest look at Scripture knows that God describes debt as slavery. So that's already something that we can say firmly. There's nowhere in Scripture where it would ever paint debt as anything other than a kind of slavery, because it's an obligation. So for instance, right, there would be people that didn't have enough money to get food for their kids, right? So they would sell themselves and say, I'll work for you for 7 years if you'll feed me, right? That's slavery. Now, in that dire of a situation, maybe slavery is better than starving, but it's still slavery, right? On the other hand, instead of selling yourself, you might say, well, you know what, if you just let me borrow X amount of money, you know, I'll work, not necessarily for you, but I'll work and I'll pay you back for 7 years, but you're still under the same moral obligation to, for instance, pay somebody back or to work for someone for X amount of time. You've still put yourself in a contractual slavery, right? It is a moral obligation you have toward that person, because God would never tell you to make a promise to pay someone back, for instance, and then not pay them back. So it is a moral obligation you're under. We can say a lot about that. But I just want to bring that to you because a while ago, during the Power to Wealth series, I had even mentioned how, you know, I don't remember exactly what I said, but I kind of said, you know what, like, for instance, even using credit card for points or something like that. Use a credit card, you know, you're borrowing money, yes, but for instance, I told you that back in the day that I used to use a credit card and I never spent money I didn't have in the bank. I only used the credit card as sort of an intermediary to swipe that, and then I would get home and I'd pay it off immediately, right, just for the points or something like that. And people would say, well, financially it makes sense. It's free money, right, so why not? But you see, when you tell somebody, oh, debt isn't smart financially, right, then someone might come back, which I would in the past too, and say, yeah, but I get free money for it. So the retort is, it is kind of smart financially. At the end of the year, maybe I make $100 or something like that at the end of the year, depending on how much you spend, right? But when God's reason for not going to debt is not financial, then you can no longer use the points to kind of justify it anymore, right? Because now it's not a matter of whether it's good financially or not. Again, even though there is benefit, financial benefit to not being in debt, when it's servanthood, and God says, I don't ever want you in moral obligation to anybody, ever. I don't want you, now, for instance, like, you can go to a job, right? Like, I work for Reformed Church, but I can quit at any time. Thank God I would never do that because I love this church and what it's doing, but I'm not under a moral obligation. I'm not under a contractual obligation to serve for X amount of time. So that's I'm serving, but I'm not a slave to Reformed Church. I can just leave at any time, right? Renting a house, right? I think there probably is better ways to do it, but you can rent a house and there's nothing wrong with that and you're not a slave to that. At any point in time, you could just say, hey, I'm moving out and that's fine, right? It's still a monthly payment, but I don't have to pay you, right? I could just move out. When you borrow money, you don't get to choose like, you know what? I'm not gonna pay that. I figured I'm not gonna do that anymore. Like, no, you have to. The words have to mean slavery. And when God says debt is slavery and you realize that that's really the reason, God wants you to reign in this world and never ever, even in a small thing, to have someone reign over you where you're under an obligation to somebody, then when you come back and say, God, but I get points, you see how silly that sounds now? Now, I've been there. I'm not trying to say I haven't been there. I'm just saying, though, that I've realized this, that if the reason is the interest or whatever, and you say, yeah, but there's 0% interest for whatever, for a year, and I get points, or then it makes sense to make that retort. But when God says, I don't ever want you to be a slave to anybody under any circumstance, and you say, but I get points, then you're like, but you're a slave to that person then. And you say, and for instance, the way that I used to do it, I'd swipe the credit card at the store, I'd get home or get in the car and pay it off. Is that a small thing? Yeah, it's a small thing. I was a slave to that person for like, whatever, a day maybe, right? For a few hours maybe. But here's my thing, and I'll stop with this. If you don't do something in a small thing, you won't do it in a big thing. That is something I'm 100% sure of. The Bible says that if you're unfaithful in little, you're going to be unfaithful in much. If you're faithful in little, he'll make you rule over much. There's different contexts for those principles, but that still is a principle. So let me present this to you. And I think that if you think about it, it's going to make a lot of sense to you. If I go into debt when I don't have to, you better believe, like, there's no pressure on me to go into debt. When I'm at the store to buy a stick of gum, I swipe a credit card and I say, I'll pay it back in the car. Are there dire consequences to that? Probably not. Probably not. Is it slavery? Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. Biblically, it is. You're under a moral obligation. But if I go into debt when there's no pressure on me to do that, it is impossible. Like, biblically speaking, the Bible says that if you do something in a small thing like that where there's no pressure on you to go into debt, you just swipe it to get points or something. Again, I'm not saying you're doing something evil. I'm saying God has better for you. It's not a sin to go into debt. God actually encourages us to lend to other people. If you're going to make money, don't make it off of points by borrowing from someone. Make your money off of lending to somebody else. Try investing. Lend to somebody else and make your money off lending. Don't make your money off of borrowing. It's like, I want to make money off of being a slave. How about you make money off of other people having to serve you and being under obligation to you by having to pay you back? That's smarter. And it does better than points, by the way. Getting back to my point here, if I go into debt when I have no pressure on me whatsoever in a small thing by swiping a credit card, you better believe that when time comes and, you know, your spouse or your family and they're saying, whatever, you need this, you need that thing, we need a new car, you better believe you're going into debt for the thing where now there's pressure. If you did it in a small thing, you better believe you're going to do it in a bigger thing. So I want to present that to you because that actually is the biblical reason. The Bible actually says that the reason, if you read Deuteronomy 28, in other places of Deuteronomy, the reason he gives, for instance, there for not going into debt, or at least that he doesn't want you to go into debt, is that he wants you to be the head and not the tail. And he wants to set you high above all the nations of the earth. And just so you know, even though I didn't know everything to the degree that I know it right now, when God first told me that that was his reason for me to not go into debt, I cut my credit card up like that day. Because now it wasn't financial. I was hearing a lot of good financial coaches, but I was hearing even a particular financial coach say, well, you shouldn't go into debt because of the financial reasons. And I kept giving my retort and saying, but I get points, so it's free money. Well, why not? But then when God told me, actually, I don't want you to be in debt because I don't want you to ever be a slave. Now it's like, you know what? I don't want me to be the example of, if I screw this up, then it's okay for you to. But I don't ever plan on being in debt for anything for the rest of my life, ever, and for under any circumstance. I plan on, like the Bible says, owing no man anything. And then God's spoken to me about not, he does not want me to go into debt. So that what I, my goal is, when I have to buy a house, I'm not going into debt. We can talk about mortgages and all that kind of stuff, but let me just real quick, since I'm on it. You say, well, what about a mortgage though? You can't just, you know, you expect someone to just buy a house outright. If you ever ask God, do you want me to borrow money for this? Just know the answer is always no, right? Now, could there be a time where you're in such a dire, and I mean, it would have to be a dire circumstance where you cannot afford necessities, and you say, it's better to be a slave than to not have this necessity, then that would be the time to borrow. That's a good time to borrow. That's what, I mean, verses are coming to my mind right now. The Bible speaks about that. He actually describes that basically poverty is the reason why one would go into debt. For instance, does everyone agree that slavery, just like, you know, slavery as we typically know, is a bad thing? Yeah. But guess what? It's better than starving, right? If your family needed food, you could sell yourself, and God wouldn't want that for you. The answer, if you said, God, do you want me to be a slave? He would still say no. But he would say, maybe at that point, God forbid, if that's where your faith was, it's better than starving, right? So if you have a necessity that you have to buy, it might be better to be a slave than to not get that necessity. But just so you know, usually with a car purchase, we don't go into debt because we couldn't afford a cheaper car. We go into debt because we wanted a newer car. Debt is usually used out of convenience. It's usually not, we don't borrow money because we needed that new phone. We could have gotten an old phone and not gone into debt for it, right? Usually, even with a mortgage, we don't buy closer to what we can afford. We buy according to the monthly payment we can afford, and we buy what is ideal. We want our dream house now, so we'll go into debt to get it. And all I'm saying is, you know what? If this is the part right here, I'm just going to submit this as an opinion, and I'll just say I'll get back to you on this. But I'll just say this for now, for my own lack of knowledge. If you're at a point where you needed to buy a house, and let's say you have to have a new house. You've got kids running around. This house is either too small to fit you. There is some kind of health reason why you need to move out. There's mold growing on the walls or something. I'm not really being silly. I'm naming examples here. You live in an unsafe neighborhood, and you need to move out. Now, I don't see why you'd, in an unsafe neighborhood, you'd have to, for instance, buy a house immediately. But let's just say there's a reason, right, where you need to buy a house. And you've explored the other options, and you're like, I have to buy a house. Out of a necessity, my thing at that point, again, as just an opinion right now, which I very well may update soon, would be, you know, then look for something that is affordable, or let me say more affordable, so that you can have the smallest mortgage you can and pay it off quick, right? Now, I may update that. But never think, though, that even what I just told you, even if my opinion on that remains the same, never think, though, that God wanted you to have a mortgage, right? Like, there's a difference between saying I have a mortgage and God wanted me to have a mortgage. That's not the case, right? So never justify borrowing money because you say, well, God said it was okay. He never wants you to be a slave, ever. Like, he wouldn't want you to be sick. He never wants these things for you. Sometimes it's just better than the alternative. But never, on one hand, never use debt out of convenience because you want a newer thing, right? I could give you a whole bunch of different examples with this, but it's just so important to see the reason why God doesn't want you to be in debt, And I'm convinced if you see the actual reason why God doesn't want you to be in debt, you're going to see what, like Pastor Jose was talking about. And it's like, you know what, when you have to buy a car, I'm going to have to, I don't know. I'm praying over the car I have right now. It's got a lot of rust, but I know my inheritance doesn't, this, where moth and rust don't destroy. So I know rust is not a part of my inheritance. I prayed over my car. So, but where my car is right now, it's very rusty. Stuff's falling off of it. I just had to replace the whole exhaust system. I'm praying over my car. If I have to buy a new car in the foreseeable future, because the mechanic said that he might not even pass it for inspection next year, I'm going to buy something debt-free. I'm going to buy something debt-free. I've already been trying to save up a little bit, and I don't even make a lot, and I'm telling you that. If I got to buy a $4,000 or $5,000 car, and guess what? It's not going to be great, but I'm not going to be anyone's servant because God doesn't want me to be anyone's servant. That's really powerful if you think about it. It's not about the points. It's not about the points. I will no longer be anyone's servant even for a few minutes unless I was in some financial straits and it was better than the alternative. I would just think about that. So there's a lot of power in what God's saying, and ultimately because he wants you to be the head and not the tail. He wants you to be above and not beneath. He wants to set you high above all the nations of the earth, and that comes with one aspect of it is lending and not borrowing. All right, really, really good stuff. So I'll let you go with that, and I'll let Miss Lindsay finally do announcements. Yeah, you? Okay, Pastor Dave just wants to share something with you.
Yeah, just real quick, just to mention this to you, what Pastor Mike was saying. You know how you could have a mentality about something where, let's say, you really don't want to have injections, right? You just, you will do whatever you have to do so that you don't have to get an injection, right? It's looking, I mean, that is probably a bad example because that's like a form of fear, right? There's probably a better example. I just can't think of one right now. But it's looking at slavery that Pastor Mike was talking about. Like that, because you know what happens when you have a view of slavery, like, Lord, that is not something that I want to do, and that's not something that I want to subject my family to, because obviously when I do that, right, in my home, I'm not just doing that to myself. I'm doing it to myself, I'm doing it to my wife, I'm doing it to my children, right? Because if, you know, if I were to do something as silly as even what I mentioned to you last service and take out a home equity loan to buy a car, I've just made my home like the surety for this car that I bought. And if I don't pay, you know, make my monthly payments to that home equity loan, now they're taking my house away, of which my wife lives in that house. My kids live in that house. So you see how you put people in obligation, and then that's why people even have, they're in so much debt that they have to have their children work at a really young age. And it's not for them to be able to do a job that they enjoy, to be able to chip in. It's because they're in so much debt that, and I had to do that when I was little. I mean, I must have been, I don't even remember, honestly, maybe 11, 12 years old. I had to go to work. I was obviously going to school, but I had to also go to work at a bakery, and then I would basically, it worked out very nicely for me because the guy that I would sweep and clean up for in the bakery, he would give me donuts when I got there, but essentially that was my pay, because the pay that he gave me, I just gave it to my dad and to my mom, but I had to eat the donuts, and that was, you know, and as a kid, you know, I didn't get it, you know, but really the only reason I was doing that is because my family was in so much debt. You know, and we were living in the States at the time. But so it's just something to think about. Like when you would pray about debt, like it's like this taboo thing that you do not want, you have a pretty good perception about how much God does not want you in slavery. And you'll look for every way not to have to do it. Like it would have to be like this dire thing. Like I'm okay. Like, I have to do this. Like, I'm doing it unwillingly. But if you really look at most people, including myself, the way I used to see debt in the past, I would do it like a drop of a hat. I would just do it just because I wanted the new thing, right? Now, the way I look at things, it's like, if I really can't afford it, then I really can't afford it. To don't buy it. Figure out a different way. And all of these years, and it's been a while, obviously, we've been learning it slowly, but I haven't been in a situation yet in years, it has been more than months, it's been years, where I've been forced to get in debt, to get something. And I had to buy a new car, and I didn't have to go into debt to do that. I paid for that truck cash. And the same thing that happened to my son happened to me. The thing just rusted inside out. And actually, it was different. The mechanic put it on the lift, and the truck broke in half, right? Which is a little bit different. But you know what? I bought the truck that I could afford. Could I have gotten a more expensive truck? Sure. Could it have had less imperfections than this one? Sure. But I couldn't afford that one without going into debt, and it just wasn't worth it for me. So it's just a great way to look at it. Like, you know what? Like, Lord, like, this is the last thing that I want, is to do this, and you will pray, and you will believe God. But most people are not there, right? Most people will just do it because it's popular to do it in the United States. But when you find yourself praying like that, then the cool thing is, you know what? You give God, and this is what I was sharing with Miss Kim and with Pastor Mike. You give God an opportunity to do something for you. But we are so flippant about it, we don't even give God a chance. Like you know, it would be awesome to just give him the opportunity to do something for you, because you're praying and you don't want that, and you want God's best for you. You know, it's just a very, very, just a very, very cool way to look at it. But anyway.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.